the Thrive Time Show Studios in the Box That Rocks. It is Tulsa's number one CPA in every way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to take a look under your financial hood with Paul Hood.
I want money, lots and lots of money. I want the pie in the sky. I want money, lots and lots of money. So don't be asking me.
Hood Nation. My name is Clay Clark. I'm the former United States Small Business Administration Entrepreneur of the Year, the co-host of the Thrive Time Show, and I'm joined here today with the host of the Look Under the Hood Show, Mr. Paul Hood, the Tulsa's number one CPA in every way. We also have two special guests on the show today. And when I say special, I don't mean special
like
as
Jerry's
in,
kids.
I don't mean that Marshall like has that. A massive dysfunction that he's coping with. I mean, Marshall Morris is an Amazon best-selling author of the co-authored the book called Start Here, and we have Dr. Robert Zellner on the show. He's a recovering optometrist. He's always an entrepreneur, but he's been trapped in that optometrist body for too long. So we're going to have a fun show today, and if you turn with us, Mr. Listener, to page 47 of A Look Under the Hood, Paul Hood's book, we're talking about the importance of knowing your weekly income. Now, there's a guy named Marcus Lemonis. He's the guy who is the chairman of the Gander Mountain Enterprise, the Good Sam Enterprises, and the star of that show called The Prophet. And one of the things that he says, I think it's powerfully simple. He says, stay focused, work hard, know your numbers, and be disciplined. If you do those things and take care of your people, the likelihood of being successful is very, very high. So I'm going to start with you, Dr. Z. You have an optometry clinic.
Yes, I do.
That's been proudly serving the Tulsa market now for 26 years.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not going to ask you for the specific numbers on the show, but do you know the number of patients you need to see every day to break even?
Yes.
And how do you react when you have one day where you miss the mark?
I'm crazy.
Does it bother you?
Yeah, it bothers me. And also, we just recalculated the other day on my auto auction how many cars I need to sell every week. What's our break-even point on the auto auction?
So you know that
number.
So
I know we have our celebration. We have our celebration mark because I asked my general manager that, and he was like, ooh, you know, we've added,
but we live
know,
in
our cost structure's changed. We've added some new employees, fired some. I haven't done that in a while, so we just redid that. And it's kind of cool.
We live in a culture, Paul Hood, where people will celebrate just showing up.
That's correct.
So you'll have a culture where a kid, you know, my kids are in cheerleading right now, and all the kids leave with a medal or a trophy or a verbal bouquet. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you to the third grade squad for finishing 17th in the national semi-national finals. So come on up to get your trophy and some ice cream. And remember, the importance of cheerleading is it's fun. Fun, fun, fun. He came up and literally had a headset mic on talking about the importance of fun and not really caring who wins or loses because the winners are the people having fun. He literally said,
folks, I want to remind you, winners and losers, it's not about who scored the most points. It's about who had fun. If you had fun, let me hear you. Woo! And if you had fun, then you are the real winner.
And it's just like, okay, cool. Okay, maybe you haven't seen how sports work. Maybe you haven't watched the NCAA playoffs before. You haven't seen how March Madness works. Typically, we don't cheer for the team that had the most fun while losing. I mean, these are thoughts I've had.
These are thoughts, just thoughts.
So the average business owner out there, you're surrounded by a team of people that they're excited about the number of days in a row they've been employed at the same job.
That's right.
They literally want to celebrate their one-year anniversary at a job. Like, I mean, people
Woo!
Will come. I've had so many employees come to me and go, do you know what today is? I'm like, Profit
Tuesday?
Day?
Tuesday?
Do we make money? Is it Tuesday? They'll say, this is my 13th month of having worked in this area.
Oh, wow.
And I'll go, okay, cool. And it's my birthday because I got hired on the same. And you start to, okay, but then you could be losing money in that department. You literally could be losing money. And I remember this. I had to fire somebody almost, two, 3 years ago? And I remember that the idea was to take him out to the bar and celebrate his last day of drinks. I had key members of my team taking people who were fired out for drinks to celebrate their teamwork. It's just the disconnect between the employer and the employee is vast. So preach the good news of knowing your weekly income and the importance of knowing how much money is actually coming in, whether you're self-employed or you're an employee. Talk to me, Paul. Help us.
Yeah, Clay, it's real simple. You know, you set long-term goals. You know, where do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years? You break those back down into 1 year
How do you, you know, where do you need to be in 1 year to get to that goal? Where do you need to be? What do you need to accomplish monthly to get to that goal? And then you break it down weekly, because you can steer the ship and you can get there. You can accelerate your success the shorter you break up those goals. So if you want to double your income in 36 months, so we have to quantify that and then see where on a path to get there, how much do we have to do weekly to get there?
Marshall does a very good job as a business coach. I mean this sincerely, Marshall. You do a great job helping figure out what the client's distant goal is. You do a very good job of during that 13-point assessment finding out what's the mountain you're trying to get to. And a lot of times, they don't know until you ask. We call it why to the fifth power. But until you ask somebody why four or five times, they usually are like, well, I want to be successful. And you go, okay, well, what does that mean to you? Well, I want to have a lot of money. Well, how much is a money? How much money is enough money for you? And well, it's just more than I have now. No, seriously, though, what's an actual number? Well, and then once you break it down to the weekly goal, that's when you can get real. And you've pointed out to many clients, I've seen you do it, hey, we need to get 26 customers this week to hit your goal. That's doable, but you're currently at 10. Or hey, you need to get 25 to hit your goal, and you're at 25, so you shouldn't hire another staff member because you'd have to manage them, and you should actually stay smaller. I mean, I've seen you do this. Talk to me about how do you magically help somebody break down the big goal into those small action steps. Walk us through the mind.
Well, here's what most people do, is they set the yearly goal, okay, how much money they want to bring in that year, and then they don't revisit how close they are to that goal until the following year.
I want to be a billionaire.
And it's
so
madness.
Freaking bad.
And so I had this conversation earlier today, is everybody was planning 3 months out, 4 months out, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We're not going to get to 3 or 4 months unless we bring in money this week.
Yeah, Marshall,
like, it doesn't matter unless we go bankrupt.
That's called not having a goal. That's called having a hope. I mean,
a hope.
Yeah, you got to hope that I'm going to get there, instead of when you have a goal, you actually design the plan to get there, the step-by-step, small steps. Just like, you know, Dr. Z, you've heard this before. You know, how do you eat an elephant? You don't, one bite at a time.
Guys, elephant. The elephants are our mascot. Elephant in the room.
Clay, I'm
Can
sorry.
Can we change
I'm
the analogy? Because I mean, these are endangered species.
Are they really endangered?
I don't know.
A giraffe.
I just say that as a way to protect our mascot.
Rhinoceros.
I see you guys wanting to kill our mascot.
That's right. Well, Clay, I've been eating raw. I've been eating tuna and chicken. And
hey, I wonder if elephant would be on your diet, Paul. I want seriously because you're doing this physical fitness thing. You look fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
So I wonder if elephant would be on your diet approved item.
Dude, give me a steak knife and a fork. I'm hungry. I want it right now.
I just would encourage all the listeners out there, if you feel like you don't know where you need to be, I'm going to try to use my life as an example, and hopefully this is very helpful to somebody out there. One of our companies is called Elephant in the Room. It's a men's grooming lounge. And that company, I pay myself. We have roughly 4,000 members, so I'll make sure we're getting this, okay? And I'll put this on the show notes, okay? So we have roughly 4,000 members, and I pay myself $8,000. The metric I came up with for that particular business was I wanted to pay myself $2 per member once we broke even.
Yeah.
So with 8,000 members or 4,000 members, I pay myself about $8,000, and there's money extra. I could pay myself extra, but I'm not. I don't need any more than that to live on at all. You know, so the rest of it is going back into the war chest to franchise it. But I'm very intentional about my long-term goals. And I think a lot of people want to raid the war chest the first sign of profitability. They want to take all of it, maximize it, just run that thing on empty. And I just, Marshall, I think that's a natural desire that people have. And I want to get Z's take on this too. But Marshall, I want to talk about that mindset, that greed of just raiding the war chest immediately.
Well, there's some people who go to raid the war chest and there's nothing there in it. And I'm going to tell you why. The super move here is know your weekly income, which is how much money has come into the bank account. This is what I see a lot of times. Paul and Dr. Z, get your take on this. But a lot of business owners, they'll record a ton of sales. They're like, oh my gosh, we're crazy profitable. We made so much money this week.
He failed it so nice. I love he failed.
But
failed
then
over
you,
here, failed over there.
You go in, you go to look at the bank account, no money's in there. And so there's a lot, a big
fail
difference between.
Fail something, fail something, fail something.
Oh my God.
I don't want to get caught up in the middle.
And so there's a difference between sales and the income coming into the bank account. And so, Paul, is this something that you see with your clients or maybe other clients or other business owners that haven't taken a proactive approach?
I do, you know, especially even the ones that have some sort of a financial. The reality is you have to have what's called a cash flow statement. And Clay, you
ooh,
know,
now we're getting all fancy.
Oh, come on now. Talk to us.
So, Clay, you know, we've talked about proactive accounting. I don't know. I mean, I would say for you to determine whether your accountant is proactive is one, do you have a standing meeting? Do you have a meeting set up with him right now, him and her right now? When is that meeting? Is it a week from now? Is it a month from now? Is it 3 months from now? Point is, do you have another meeting or is it just, well, we'll get together when we get together? Two, when you get financial statements, and I don't care if you're an individual or business, do you have a cash flow statement? A cash flow statement is what we started with in the bank, how much came in, how much went out, what do we have at the end of this period? And if you have those two things, then you've got a proactive account. And if you don't, you need to give me a call or go to hoodcpas.com.
I mean this, and I want to help somebody out there. If you are out there and you're listening to this show and this irritates you, it's totally great. You can email info@thrivetimeshow.com, and what I'll do is I'll hit delete right away, but you get that interaction, though. It's an interaction, so you can send it over.
And you feel better about
yourself. One of the brands I'm helping grow is Tip Top Canine. And I love those guys, and I love that people love dogs, and I love the people that love the dogs, and I love the dogs that the people love. But I don't want a dog. And you know why I don't want a dog? I'll tell you why. Because I know that I do not have the emotional capacity or the time capacity needed to even take a dog on a walk even one time. If I would ever, even one time, pick up dog's poop, even one time, I would say, who changed the org chart and put this dog in charge of me? And Seinfeld talked about this. If an alien race watches humans following around an animal and picking up their poop, who's in charge?
Who's in charge?
So I cannot have an animal like that. I just can't. But it's knowing that is what sets me free. But the problem is a lot of people, they want to start a business, but they don't want to tend to the numbers. They want to start a garden, but they don't want to weed the garden. And I know that you, the listener, you are a proactive person. You're one of the rare Americans who understands what it takes to be successful. And so I'm giving you a once in a lifetime or a once in a every week opportunity. See, this is a every 7 day once in a lifetime opportunity. Yeah, every 7 days, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity.
That's fair.
If you go to hoodcpas.com, and you schedule your one-on-one consultation with Paul Hood, you get an hour of his time or a member of his team's time to do what I would call a deep dive into your financials. They're going to look at it, figure out where you're at versus where you want to go, and they're going to give you a free copy of Warren Buffett's book, Snowball. Now, I have happened to have read Snowball. Marshall, have you done the audiobook of Snowball or read Snowball?
I haven't. Warren Buffett?
Yeah.
No, I haven't read it yet.
Dude, you're going to love that book, bro.
I love it.
It's an amazing book. It talks about how he went from being... Crazy story. The guy's like 15 years old, and it occurs to him that men are waiting at hair salons and barbershops. So he decides to buy, using his savings, using his paper route savings, a pinball machine and a soda machine or a pop machine, a vending machine. And he's going to take the money that he makes from that and buy land. Age 16! Age 16, buys an acre of land, 2 acres of land, buys land. He leases it to farmers who are so far in debt they need to lease the land as opposed to buying the land, a very common practice in farming. Then he takes that money and he starts buying gift cards from the grocery store. And the grocer says, what? He goes, I want to buy gift cards. I'll buy them from you. I'll buy them, all of them right now, 80 cents on the dollar. And they're like, okay, sure. And he did the math and he figured out the redemption rate. And if you read the book, you can figure out the actual number. But it was like 70 cents on the dollar or 60 cents, whatever the number was. And he figured out that only a certain percentage of the people who ever buy gift cards ever redeem them. So it was like this ultimate, he was buying money. And then the gift cards would be sold in the store and he got to keep the money based off the unused gift cards. And that idea, he called it float. And he used that idea to then buy Geico because he found out when you buy car insurance, you typically don't file a claim every day. So he can keep that profit. I mean, the guy is just, he's a wizard. His book is awesome. Paul Hood knows his stuff. He's a wizard. Paul, why should somebody come and set a one-on-one consultation with you at hoodcpas.com?
Well, you know, they should come see me if they want to be successful. If they want, and success is, they can determine that themselves, whether that's just to make a little bit more. I mean, Clay, what we do is we help people literally save more, keep more, and protect more of what they make. And because and then we go from there and help show them how to actually increase their revenue. But really what we focus on is the money that's already going out the door, how can we maximize or minimize that? How can we save them? Our initial goal is 10%.
And now, broadcasting from the Thrive Time Show studios in the box that rocks, it is Tulsa's number one CPA in every way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to take a look under your financial hood with Paul Hood.
I want money.
Hood Nation, and welcome back to The Conversation. It is a look under the hood with Paul Hood, where we're talking today about the importance of knowing the weekly income that your family needs and where you're at financially. I think a lot of times people have goals. I think we set goals, but we don't break it down to what are we getting paid per week. And before I take the show to a really dark, negative, terrible place on a glorious Saturday morning. I mean, it's such a great Saturday morning. I want to take it down to the bottom, and then we'll balance out. We'll kind of go back. We'll end at the top. Talk to us about what that first consultation looks like. If I'm daring enough to schedule a one-on-one free first consultation with HoodCPAs.com, just because I want to get that Warren Buffett book, Snowball, and I frankly am not passionate about who's currently doing my taxes, what does that first consultation look like?
Well, the first consultation is spent a lot just me listening to them. What do they want? Where are they at? You know, where do they want to go? And then making a few just generic recommendations as far as the direction we typically like to help take them. For instance, we like to help them try to target saving 10% of what they're already spending. And when I say save, it's a double-edged too. First way is to save in expenses. Where are their money going? What bills do they have? What business expenses do they have, or personal expenses they have? And how can we carve those out to reduce them? And then try to help them see how they can take that money and put it towards their future and get it working for them, Clay.
So you're going to take that first meeting and help them try to save some money.
Correct.
And I can say this from firsthand experience with two clients that I know. I can't say with every client, but there's two that I know of that have told me. They said, hey, thank you for the recommendation. And we were able to save on our taxes this year about 3%. I mean, we looked at our taxes, and for next year as we're filing, we've made a strategy that will allow us to reduce our taxes. And a lot of times you could do that by just changing the way you're structured as an organization.
That's correct.
So let me give an example. If I own a business, and I'd like to get your take on this. If I own a business and I am a sole proprietor, Dr. Robert Zellner is not an accountant. If I just want to get some common sense takes from you from your career having run businesses. If I'm a sole proprietor, I'm not an LLC. I'm not an S corporation. I'm just a sole. I'm basically a dude with
You're
a truck.
You're a dude
who's
with a truck.
Doing some remodeling.
Yeah, with a hammer. You probably need a hammer.
Why is double taxation, or why is not being an LLC or not being an S corp bad for me from a legal perspective, not being a corporation? And why is it bad for me from a tax perspective, Z? From your perspective, not as a CPA, but as an optometrist.
I'll work on the legal side, and I'll let Paul Hood's CPA Hood. Work on the
Sounds great.
On the tax implication side, because especially you want to do it for in case you have a mistake. Case you drive your hammer through the wall and like hit something that blows up a house. In case you're a real human.
Wes Carter says.
And a mistake happens.
Wes Carter's told me if you're in business and you do more than $1 million of business and you're in business for over 2 years, he does not think it's possible to not get in some kind of lawsuit if you do more than $1 million a year of revenue.
So you have to protect your assets, and that's the whole thing. It's an entity by itself. It's not just you. As a sole proprietor, if it's just you, then everything you touch and own and have underneath your little tent is up for grabs.
It's all about protecting your assets.
Ooh. I want to make sure I give the listeners a visual before we get into the tax ramifications of not having a corporation. If you look at it, is back in the day of, let's say, knights, chivalry, medieval times, what happened is you would have a king, and when a king made a lot of money, a lot of cash, he typically would build a kingdom, right? And then to protect what he had built, he'd build a wall around it, and he'd have those flaming arrow guys, chumps. You know, they're shooting the flaming arrows.
Hot tar, the feathers.
He'd have knights. They'd lower down the drawbridge. Knights would come out. They'd fight if they needed to.
Right.
He'd put a moat around it. He'd fill that thing up with snakes and crocodiles.
Gators.
And it was nasty.
Nasty.
But and then the guy had the guy who would pour the tar on the people if you're trying to climb the wall. If you got very ambitious, if you watch Game of Thrones, you can see these kinds of things. It's basically they would protect themselves with the wall. Well, now in our current society, you have four areas where every business owner is exposed. When I worked with the farmers insurance agents for years, we ran into these four all the time. You have the area of your personal life insurance, like if you die, right? What's going to happen to your family's assets? Two, your automobile. You're driving around a weapon. I mean, if you think you're doing well right now, run into a school bus. Run into a minivan.
You think you're doing well.
I'm being serious.
I'm doing well. I guess I got to run into a school bus.
Work with me on this, though. If you think you're doing well and you run into a school bus or a vehicle, or you hit a kid on a bike, these are not positive things, but I can't tell you how many times at Farmers Insurance we met somebody after they hit somebody on a bike, what happens is they can garnish your wages. So if you lose the lawsuit, they can make sure they're taking out money out of your personal, they can take money out of your account as a way to pay for those medical bills. And it's expensive who hasn't made a mistake while driving? I mean, in my case, I've never actually made a good decision while driving. But then the third is you have bit in your business. Your business could make a mistake while providing the service or the product. You could make a mistake. Get life insurance, right? You got the automobile, you got the business. And that third is it's personal stuff. It's like personal liability. Like you have like a trampoline, neighbor kid comes over, hurts himself, whatever. So Paul can help you get your walls up to protect all four areas of your life with different insurances and products. But if your business itself, I mean, you got to get the wall around the business. And one of the first foundational walls you have to build is forming a corporation. Paul, why do I have to form a corporation?
Well, let me kind of agree to disagree.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
So typically, what people don't understand, if you don't understand this, you definitely need to go on my website, hoodcpas.com, and come see me. The IRS does not recognize an LLC as an entity.
Keep going.
An LLC is a state-level legal entity, that wall that you discussed.
Yep.
So we have to tell the IRS that this entity is taxed as a sole proprietorship, a partnership, or a corporation. If it's a corporation, we have to tell them whether it's an S-corp or a C-corp. And there are tax savings depending on tax ramifications, depending on which type of entity you have. There's timing and business cycle that kind of dictates that. There's fringe benefits that apply to one type of entity that don't apply to another entity. There are ways to mitigate or to manage the Social Security taxes that you pay, depending on what type of entity you are. So the reality is the LLC, we typically start with an LLC across the board.
A limited liability corporation.
Yeah, across the board. And then we decide, is this LLC going to be taxed as a sole proprietorship, partnership, or corporation? Because you can be a sole proprietor, operate from a tax standpoint as a sole proprietor, and have that wall around your business.
I'm going to read the definition of an S corp for anybody out there who's not familiar with that terminology. Okay. An S corp is it's a corporation that has been you can form basically for tax purposes. And what it is, it's a closely held corporation where you can elect to be a subchapter S. Which under the Internal Revenue Code allows you to file your taxes a little bit differently. You can make a... So talk to me from a tax perspective. Let's say that I'm an LLC. What kind of person should actually file as an S-corp moving forward?
Typically what we do is it really circles around what's fair and reasonable compensation. So what we talk to people about is if you're going to... We set up the LLC and we'll elect to be an S-corp. When your profit gets profit... That's income less expenses, gets above $30,000 to $40,000. Because then when you get above that $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, we can pay a reasonable, quote-unquote, reasonable salary and control the Social Security taxes. Because if you're not an S-corp, if you're a partnership or an LLC, every penny of profit you make is subject to Social Security taxes.
So the S-corp allows you to pay yourself what is fair and reasonable.
Yes.
And it makes sense above how many thousands of dollars?
About $40,000 to $50,000 net.
And these are the kinds of things where the average listener might say, I did not know that.
I did not know that.
And so if you are just saying, listen, I'm great at my jobby job. I'm a great welder. I'm a great teacher. I'm a great dentist. But I don't know about the tax code. This is where I want to take it to a dark, dark place here. Z, have you thought about how big the tax code is recently? Have you thought about just the size of the tax code?
It's big.
I actually had a friend of mine, very good friend of mine, who works for the IRS. And we were just joking. This is what you do after you have a beer and you know somebody who works for the IRS. I said, buddy, I got to ask you this because you hear this all the time.
Buddy.
When you guys audit somebody, Do you guys ever actually agree on how much taxes the person owes? If there's two people auditing, he goes, no.
No.
Honestly, it's so hard to interpret, man. It really comes down to how the person interprets it. He goes, it's kind of like the legal system. The judges will say based upon precedence. And so it becomes a deal where like two IRS agents can't even agree on how the tax code should work. Paul, I mean, do you not see this all the time?
Oh, absolutely. And and you know what, Clay? That's a positive thing for us. Because they can't agree, that means there's room for us. You know, there's the gray. You know, I tell my clients there's black and there's white, and I'm too pretty to go to prison for anybody, so I'm not going into those areas.
Whoa!
But we'll get all up in the gray. And someone told me one time, Clay, that the tax code is 10 times. Z, you may have said this. I can't remember, Clay. The tax code is 10 times the size of the Bible, but doesn't have any of the good news.
I wish I would have said that, but
that's clever. I can't take credit.
I'll give you credit.
You heard from me.
I'll give it to Z.
I just heard that.
But anyway, yeah. No, see, but that's a positive thing. A positive thing is if there are gray areas, that's you know where we get all up in. Because I tell my clients that typically it's just like I used to coach my boys about every sport. And one of them was basketball. And I used to tell them, if you come off the court at the end of the game and you don't have at least two fouls, you weren't playing hard enough.
Whoa.
And so I believe the same way as far as the tax code is there are legitimate deductions that people do not take that we need to look at, that if as long as we can argue them and base them on items in the tax code, even though they don't agree, we can take them.
If you want to have an accountant who is going to aggressively help you mitigate your taxes and be very proactive about your accounting and your taxes, you owe it to yourself to schedule a free consultation at hoodcpas.com. That's hoodcpas.com, and he'll give you a free copy of Warren Buffett's book, Snowball. Schedule your free consultation today with hoodcpas.com, and I promise you, you will not regret that decision. Go to hoodcpas.com today.